You're listening to Scouting for Goals, the fantasy football podcast on URM.
Crystal Palace are playing Chelsea away. I mean, they're bound to score away eventually.
You need to buy Gross or Richarlison this week before the price goes up.
Everyone in the league has De Gea and got a clean sheet. Lloris was a poor choice.
Can you just have 11 Man City players?
The form Salah is in, I'd happily take the 4-point hit to fit him in.
Man United are playing West Ham this week. Lukaku scored in 9 out of his last 10 games against them. He's got to be a shout for triple captain.
I'm risking sending Lacazette from Rat this week, because I need a striker who's guaranteed to start.
A double game week is exactly what Bench Boost is designed for.
So Burnley have turned Turf Moor into a fortress recently. Their defenders are perfect if you're on a budget.
Goal-scoring defenders are such a help. Kolasinac gets the nod for me.
This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome to the Scouting for Goals podcast. Not the only fantasy football podcast here at URN, but I think it's fairly safe to say the best by some margin. I'm your host, Alexander, well, one of your hosts, joined by my lovely co-host, James Morehouse. How are you doing, Jimmy?
I'm good, yeah. Enjoying time, you know, after
enjoying
exams.
Time.
Enjoying time.
It's a very deep statement, Jim.
Yes, it is. You know, you just got to take each day as it comes, and a day with a fantasy football podcast is always a good one, especially when it's Scouting for Goal.
Jim, do you want to explain the basic premise of what we're going to be doing?
Well, essentially, each week we're going to take a look at our fantasy football teams. You know, we've got some expert opinions coming at you. We'll give you some how we did each week, looking through both of our teams, and then from next week we're going to start bringing on a very special guest. It could be anyone.
Could be you.
It could even be you, yes.
Maybe.
If you're that interested, then you can always, you know, phone in or do any of that shabam. Then, you know, we're going to just take a look at how other people have done. Take a look at who's done the best from that week in the Premier League. Maybe have a bit of a prediction. And then once the guest starts coming in, we'll have a bit of a competition with them to see who can make the best predictions and do the sort of the picks of the week. So we've got a lot planned, and it's going to be a good podcast. So yeah, keep on listening.
You heard it here first. Expert opinions from two non-experts. But listen, we've been doing bits in the URN Fantasy Football League this season. I'm sat in second. Jimmy is doing his best.
I am doing. I was quite low down. You know, I am making a bit of a comeback. I think I'm up to fourth now. In fact, in the league.
Wow, so you are dealing with the second and fourth place in the exclusive URN Fantasy Football League. So
yeah, I mean, it's second and fourth out of 23 people. You know, that is essentially just an expert opinion, really, isn't it? And so, you know, you can't argue with that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think let's get kick-started then. In terms of the last game week, Jim, you got 43 points, I got 42. The average was 47. I mean, listen, let's give the world a bit of a head start. We can't just take off immediately because it wouldn't be fair. I mean, how'd your week go?
I mean, yeah, as you say there, we are both a little below average. But in terms of, you know, the big names, they didn't really produce that week. This week for me, the likes of Alonso and De Gea only getting 3 points between them when they're usually a sure choice for a clean sheet was disappointing. Harry Kane, my captain, obviously didn't manage to get a goal against Manchester United, so he emerged with a measly 4 points for me. But really, it was Liverpool who were my saving grace this week. Joe Gomez with a clean sheet getting me 6 points, and then those danger men up front, Salah and Firmino, getting them 8 points between them. 8 points each, that is. And then there was just a clean sheet for Davies as well for Spurs. So not a terrible week, but it certainly could have been a lot better.
Yeah, I think I had something similar. I will say this, I got a bit unlucky. A little bit unlucky in that I also had a Liverpool defender, Van Dijk, but I can't question the genius of Jurgen Klopp, who did decide to bench him for the game. So thanks for that, Jurgen. So I got 0 points there, but I also had Salah, so that's 8 points. Looking over my team, you had Otamendi with six. Bit of a rogue shout. Moritz Bauer, the new wing-back for Stoke, second clean sheet in a row, so that's decent, even though he did pick up a booking. My captain, well, this is the sort of level of genius we're dealing with here. Jim, if you've heard that my team Chelsea lost 3-0 to Bournemouth.
Oh, I did hear that, yes. So.
Yeah, well, I thought, just before the game, I was like, oh, well, we're playing Bournemouth at home. You know what, I won't pick Salah, who got 8 points, as my captain. No, what I'll do is I'll play it safe, and I'll make Marcus Alonso my captain for the week, and they conceded 3 goals at home to Bournemouth.
It wasn't the best week for Chelsea all round, really, was it?
Certainly wasn't.
Although, you know, Alonso's usually a pretty much a mainstay of most fantasy players' teams, you didn't really pick the best week to captain him there, Alex.
Yeah, no, it was quite disappointing. So I got 2 points from Alonso, but hey, listen, Callum Wilson, this third goal in 4 games, he got me 12 points. So thank you for dismantling my team, Callum, but at least he did get me some points, which was very, very nice to see. So, yeah, I think this week, it was all right. It was all right. It was, it really is sort of trying to make a positive spin on it is quite difficult because at one point earlier in the season, not to boast, well, to boast a bit because I'm essentially a genius, but I was up to 700th in the world and now have dropped right the way down to 125,000th.
So it's still not bad, is it? When you consider the amount of people that play fantasy football, you know, you're talking millions. So, you know, 700th in the world was certainly a brief.
I think I peaked. To be honest.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm ever going to top
too early, maybe. But still, you know, it was a good achievement, and he's still not doing badly. So, second in the URM league is the only one that we all care about.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah,
you still got a shout for that.
For sure. For sure. So, I think, Jim, you're ready to move on to our first official segment, because this show is full of production value. We've actually got a plan in front of us, so we're pretty much set for life with this.
Yeah, we really are. Certainly, we've got many, many different segments. We're like an orange, this show. We've got so many different segments, but hopefully you'll enjoy them all.
Cut.
What's wrong with that?
No, you know what? No, that's being left in.
That's a great analogy, though.
Great analogy, right. Moving ahead to our first segment, Lionel Messi or Lionel Messed Up. So, Jim, how's this segment work? Do you want to explain?
Well, essentially, we're just going to look through the best and worst teams or players from the week. So, you know, Lionel Messi, obviously the best player in the world. If they've done well, then we'll consider them in the same sort of standing as Lionel Messi. But if they've Lionel messed up, like I think we're going to talk about how Chelsea have done that, then we're going to put them in that section. So, you know, it's dependent on real life performances, and if your team's messed up, then you're in danger of being put in that Lionel messed up section.
Yeah, you don't want to. I think that's the one thing that footballers look back on their career and they go, right, well, at least I avoided getting put on the scouting for goals Lionel messed up list. So looking ahead to this week, for Lionel messed up, I've just written down in front of me the entire Chelsea setup. I think it's fair to say they all deserve a very sarcastic clap. So let's just right now go. There we go. That's some good clapping. That's not even a sound effect. That's real. That's from the heart right now.
Yeah,
right? We were awful.
Taken right from the soul. That Chelsea, as you say, I mean, it's going to be worse for you as a Chelsea fan. For me, it was a point of some amusement, although it did cost me some fantasy points in terms of Alonso. But yeah, Bournemouth just took you apart. I don't think anyone would have predicted. You know, even if you'd thought maybe Bournemouth could snatch a win, to win 3-0 at Stamford Bridge is a great achievement. I think Eddie Howe talked in the week about how that was probably Bournemouth's best ever Premier League win. So you've got to give it to them. It was a really fantastic performance by them. But really, Chelsea, I don't really know what's going on there at the moment. We saw in recent weeks the thoughts of getting Peter Crouch and Andy Carroll, which I know didn't have.
Don't forget
much,
Ashley Barnes.
Oh, Ashley Barnes, you know. You got to think maybe is Antonio Conte kind of
Having a breakdown.
Yeah, he's having. It seems to be having a bit of a breakdown. Maybe he's losing his hair all over again. I think I've got to agree there that this week certainly the Lionel messed up section, the sort of anti award or punishment you could say is going to go to the Chelsea team.
But the man to collect. Definitely Ross Barkley. He was abhorrently bad before he was subbed off in 55 minutes. And to be honest, our whole attack was pretty dreadful. We didn't really get anywhere near to scoring. We didn't have a shot on target in the first half, I believe. Our attack was awful. Our defence wasn't brilliant. There's very little good out of that game. So I think that, yeah, Lionel messed up this week. Definitely the Chelsea setup with Ross Barkley being the man to collect.
Yeah, well, he'd probably be collecting the wooden spoon. I'm sure we can arrange to have one sent over to Chelsea Football Club in the next few days.
Well, if anyone from Chelsea is listening, of course,
I'm sure they
are. So get in contact and, come on and justify your actions.
We can set an interview in no time, I'm sure. In terms of Lionel Messi, though, this week, it's gone to quite an obscure choice in the Swansea midfielder. Sam Clucas, he had a really good game midweek, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, listen, two goals. We were looking at him before because he's only really burst onto the scene this season. And no one had ever really heard of him. And from doing some research, he came through the Leicester youth system and pretty much disappeared and ended up dropping right back to like the lowest tiers of English football. And then slowly rose through the ranks, went to Chesterfield for a while and just worked his way up. To Swansea, and he had a really, really good game this week. I mean, he scored two goals against Arsenal, and Arsenal weren't complete pushovers in that game. They played all right. Yeah, it's respect to him, and only 0.3% of Barclays' fantasy football players had picked him, and he got 15 points, so fair play to him.
Yeah, excellent goals, excellent performance. Not the best celebration, but I'm sure we can leave that discussion for another time. I do actually remember seeing Sam Clucas quite a few years ago at Chesterfield and thinking, oh, he's a very forgettable player. I'm probably never going to hear of him again.
So you remember seeing him and thinking, oh, he's a forgetful player? He's a forgettable player.
Well, I remember seeing him and thinking, this guy, you know, he's not all that. I mean,
but the fact that you remembered...
It was in League 2
Jimmy,
at the time.
We need to get coherent here.
It was in League 2, you know, I thought, oh, he's a youngster. He's not bad, but he's not good. And again, that shows how much I know. That is my expert opinion because, you know, he had a decent season with Hull last season. And when they got relegated, Swansea picks him up and he's doing quite well for them.
He's doing bits.
Yeah, he's doing bits for them. And, you know, with Carlos Carvalho sort of seems to have changed Swansea's fortunes around, maybe he can be a man to continue picking up points and continue picking up points for his team.
Yeah, it might be a bit of a rogue shout.
He could be, yeah.
I mean, I'm just looking now. He's 4.7 million. For a midfielder, which is nothing. I mean, yeah. It's one of the cheapest you can get. Literally, it's half the price of Mohamed Salah. Actually, less than half the price of Mohamed Salah. And even a fan favourite, a cheap midfielder who gets picked a lot, like Decore, is 5.3 million.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a rogue shout if you're desperate to get into that first place Euro league spot. Maybe he's a player to look at.
You know, once the game's this weekend, if he does well again, then maybe I'll have to slot him into my own side, to be honest. I think at that price, you can't really complain. And if he's scoring twice against Arsenal, then, you know, he's going to probably pick up a few more points from now until the end of the season. So, yeah, I agree. Rogue shout, indeed.
Going to head to the other games coming up. Have you picked out any that you're going to be watching in focus?
Well, in terms of the place you're looking at points is Manchester United at home to Huddersfield. Although they had a poor performance in midweek at Spurs, you've got to back them to beat Huddersfield here. Obviously, Huddersfield did beat them when they were at home, but United at home surely must be too strong for Huddersfield. So I've got De Gea, Lingard and Pogba in my team. Decided to captain Pogba this week, so I'm hoping that
I really hope he gets benched.
Well, I mean, you probably will now, won't he? But yeah, if he can pick up a goal or two, that would be lovely for me. And I think the majority of fantasy football players will be certainly having one or two United players in their team this week.
Well, Huddersfield as well were absolutely battered midweek by Liverpool. I mean, they lost 3-0 at home, but it's more than that as well, because Liverpool were just all over them. And really, if Liverpool weren't brilliant with their finishing that game, it could have easily finished 6 or 7-0, if you ask me. So I think it's a great shout, and certainly be looking to add some United midfielders or strikers into your team, like, as Jimmy's done, Pogba, or someone like, as I've done, Anthony Martial. Or Martial, depending on how French you want to be. In terms of other games, Jim, one I've sort of seen, maybe Arsenal at home to Everton, but maybe not for the reason everyone's thinking. You had a bit of a rogue shout outside, didn't you?
Yeah, certainly. I think Theo Walcott, a man who's obviously recently transferred from Arsenal to Everton, he scored twice in midweek against Leicester, putting a really good performance there. And although I think Arsenal are obviously favourites for the game, I think Theo Walcott could certainly have an impact when he returns to the Emirates, because the amount of stick that he's had over the years when he's been there, like, obviously he scored a lot of goals and got a lot of assists over his tenure there, but I think returning, he's going to want to prove a point to Arsene Wenger, and he wants to prove a point not only to the Arsenal fans but also to the new Everton fans who are now supporting him. So I certainly think he's going to have an impact on the game there, so I would put him in my team, but I've already made all my transfers, so forget about that. But if you are listening and you do think it's a good shout, then you know you can thank me when he scores a hat trick.
He's a bit of a bargain as well. I mean, 7.2 million, it's not super cheap, but it's a lot cheaper than other sort of already proven players, even like someone like Anthony Martial is 8.1 million, Salah now is up to over 10 million, which is a lot of money. I mean, that's over a tenth of your budget at this point. So, yeah, I think that he's definitely one to watch, especially against a rather out-of-form Arsenal team.
Yeah.
And then the final game, which I think will be really interesting, is Leicester at home to Swansea, because I have literally no idea how it's going to work, but there's a case to be made for both teams there, surely.
Certainly, yes. Leicester in very decent form, although they did lose, as we previously mentioned, at Everton. They've been in quite steady form since Claude Puel has taken over. But then, you know, Swansea as well really picked up in recent weeks. They've beaten Liverpool, they've beaten Arsenal, they beat Watford away as well a few weeks back. So you can't really write them off at this point. And
they've gone from a team who genuinely looked abysmal. They look like they should be playing in League One or League Two, and even then they'd be a probably bottom half table team, to now beating Liverpool and Arsenal consecutively.
Yeah, he's really turned it around there. They've had the players, they weren't performing early this season, and now they've suddenly gone from a team who were almost, as you say, nailed down to get relegated this season. Suddenly they're out of the relegation zone after a couple of victories, so it just shows how tight it is down there. And Swansea are going to go to Leicester full of confidence, so I certainly won't be writing them off there.
I think now some games to avoid, potentially. I think that Burnley at home to City, I keep well away from any Burnley players there. City, I'm not sure. I think they'll win. I don't know how well they'll be able to break down Burnley's defence.
Yeah, but Burnley's defence have just been so strong all season, really. You know, they've been the best cheap options in terms of fantasy football, but at home to Manchester City, who are just rampant, it's hard to see them keeping a clean sheet there. But as you say, at the same time, Burnley have such a strong defence, and Sean Dyche will set his team up in such a way that he wants to make it extremely difficult for Manchester City to break them down. So, you know, it could be a 0-0 or a 1-0 there, certainly to Manchester City. But if you're looking for Manchester City attackers, then I'm not sure that travelling to Burnley is the best place for them to be picking up points.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, really. I think that, yeah, listen, Burnley have had definitely a rough patch. They didn't actually manage to keep a clean sheet in January, which is quite a poor record. Well, not in the Premier League anyway, which is quite a poor record. But still, they're a very tough team. They work very, very hard. They're quite physically large and physically aggressive. So I think that, yeah, City strikers especially missing out on players like Sané, who are normally the key to that creative attack. You're going to want to steer clear of that. Of course, watch us get proven wrong in the next podcast after City have won 4 or 5-0. But yeah, yeah. I'd steer clear for now, for sure. In terms of other games to avoid, Liverpool at home to Tottenham. I don't know what's going to happen. Some games they've looked very sharp, very, very decent. Other games they lose to Swansea. So it is a bit like, what is going on?
Yeah, Liverpool are just a baffling team, really, at times, aren't they? You know, 1 week we're talking about them being, Premiership title winners.
With the beating City.
And they're beating City, yeah. I mean, yeah, they were putting in such an incredible performance there when they beat City. But and then the next week, they'll lose to Swansea and then West Brom in the FA Cup. And they're just so inconsistent. And we talk about Jurgen Klopp being like a visionary or whatever that. And at the end of the day, he's got a worse record than Brendan Rodgers. So
poor Brendan.
When is he going to start performing and producing consistent results with Liverpool? I don't know. And when they're at home to Spurs, who are obviously such a good side, it's literally impossible to predict how that game could turn out. It could be 5-0 to Liverpool. It could be 0-0. It could be 3-0. You know, it could anything. Any result.
Any result.
It could be 13-12.
Guys, it could be any result.
Yeah, that is
in that game. It could be any. And I don't like to be too confident, but I'd say we're 100% on that. It could be any result.
I'm yeah, almost Michael
but
Owen.
What about 3-0?
It could be 3-0, yeah.
4-0?
Maybe.
Bit of rogue shout, 1-1.
Oh, that would be a draw.
That would be a draw. Yeah, you know how it works. You need to score goals, and you need to score more goals than the other team to win the game.
All I can say is that the team who scores the most goals is the team that's going to win that game.
That's
yes. Michael
there
Owen.
We go. Yep. Just give us an SR right now.
Yes.
We'll take it.
Let's just get Michael Owen on as a guest, and he can just tell us all the same thing.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure he's listening in now. So, hello, Michael.
I'll send it over to his house. I know him well.
Okay, good man. This would normally be the time which we'd have a guest on, but seeing as it's the first episode, we just really want you to get to know me and Jimmy quite well, and I think you have done, really. And if by some miracle you're still listening now, congratulations. First hurdle out of the way. Pat yourself on the back. But we're going to talk about our picks of the week. So we're going to go through and start with what I've written down here, the golden goalie. So it was some good shouts for your keeper this week.
Well, it's got to be that man, David De Gea. He's been in my fantasy team since the first week. He's got the most points. They're at home to Huddersfield. It's just the natural choice in terms of if you want a fairly, reliable option in goal in terms of getting bonus points and also picking up clean sheets. So, for me, the golden goalie this week has got to be David De Gea.
Yeah, he is that number one. I mean, 43% of players have him picked. I think a lot of people have had him since the beginning. I know I have. I know you have. Especially against Huddersfield. It's very, very likely he'll keep a clean sheet and is the obvious shout. Looking ahead, some other shouts, though, maybe. It's a difficult week. So there's a few very difficult fixtures, and not that other than that United game, not many of what I'd call clear cut. But we were talking about maybe Ben Foster, who's playing obviously for the in-form West Brom at the minute, who take on Southampton. You got to fancy him to have a half decent chance of keeping a clean sheet.
Yeah, certainly. I think in recent weeks, Alan Pardew having taken over at West Brom has really started to turn them around and turn them back into that solid defensive unit that they were previously under Tony Pulis. So, especially when they're at home to Southampton, who aren't really notorious for scoring many goals at the moment, I think if you're looking for a more budget option in terms of a goalkeeper for fantasy teams, then I think Ben Foster could be your man this week.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, if you're smart, David De Gea should already be in your team. Otherwise, you're going to struggle, and you probably have been struggling thus far. But if you really want a cheap keeper, Ben Foster. We contemplated Matt Ryan a little bit, the Brighton goalkeeper. But they are playing West Ham, who haven't. I think that they've gone seven games. They've scored a goal in each of the last seven games. So maybe not the team you want to be risking that for. But he's another a potential shout if you really do need a cheap player. But yeah. Pick David De Gea.
Just pick David De Gea.
Seriously, De Gea or bust. I think that's where you've really got to be coming from. I would normally say someone like maybe Courtois as well, but with Chelsea playing like they are, I'd steer clear. And then the obvious choice of Lloris as well, Liverpool way.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's not a good time to have Hugo Lloris in goal, especially when they're going to Anfield. So, yeah, De Gea. Just pick De Gea.
Pick De Gea. Come on, guys. Moving on to defenders, I'm going to talk about Jim's favourite. Now, Jimmy, I don't know if you've picked up from his... Is it fair to say you've got a slight tinge of an accent? Is it just a,
maybe a little one.
Maybe a little one.
I don't notice it myself, but apparently it's a little bit noticeable.
Jimmy is from Rochdale, and Rochdale are a team who... They don't get all the goals, they don't get all the glory, but they've got one man who's emerged from the ashes of the city. Well, I say city, the sort of town.
Town, yeah.
And has made his way to the Premier League. Who am I talking about, Jim?
You're talking about the best defender in the Premier League, Alex, and that man is Craig Dawson.
Dawson, best in the league. Big claims here. You heard it here first.
Yeah. I don't know how he hasn't got an England call-up, but forget that. In terms of fantasy football, Craig Dawson is just a dream. He was injured for a while, and that's why he was taken out of my team. I did used to play for Rochdale, that's why I love him so much, just as a little side note.
Disclaimer.
He scores goals, and he's a defender, and they keep clean sheets, so what more do you want, really?
You say he scores goals. Yeah. He scored goal this season. He's hit one.
He's been injured.
He's been injured.
He scored in the FA Cup as well, didn't he? He's normally a centre-back, so he goes forward for the corners, and he's very, very good in the air. You know, I'm not emphasising that because I love him. I'm just saying that because it's true. He scores goals from corners, and the fact is that while he's playing as a right-back, he's going to get forward, and he's going to potentially get assists as well. So when you're looking at an improving West Brom side who are going to start picking up clean sheets, I think Craig Dawson is your man. Because he's just a very reliable and cheap option in terms of fantasy football.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that you quite like him. I think he's a good player. He is a good player, but I think there's a better choice in Alfie Mawson.
I mean, Mawson over Dawson.
If you're looking, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good poem. Maybe we'll set up a poetry show. See the demand for this show. But yeah. Who knows? Alfie Mawson, valued at $5 million. Really good Swansea defender. I think he had a really good game against Liverpool. And a fairly solid game against Arsenal. He's the player I'd want in my team, and I'm very strongly considering bringing him in. With Swansea due, I think, a winnable fixture against Leicester. Not an easy one, but it's definitely winnable. He's got to be a decent shout.
Yeah, certainly. He's picked up a couple of goals, I think, in the last few weeks, and with Swansea improving as well, as you say, like they kept a clean sheet against Liverpool. And if you can keep a clean sheet against Liverpool, who can't you keep a clean sheet against, essentially? because, you know, they have got one of the best attacks in the league. So Mawson is a defender who's steadily improving week by week, it seems. And I think he is an excellent choice if you want someone who's slightly cheaper and might pick you up the odd few points every now and again.
Yeah, and then looking at long term, I know Chelsea have been having a rough patch, but I've been saying it for weeks, so I'll keep saying it. Marcus Alonso. With Chelsea's attack being so toothless at the minute, Marcus Alonso is constantly pushing up. He's a cracking free kick taker. And Chelsea do, when they get back to form, keep clean sheets. They are a good side, and he's a cracking player to have in your team.
Yeah, certainly. I'm pretty sure he's been in my team, you know, since the first couple of weeks, for sure. Apart from that one time where I benched him and he scored twice at Wembley.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. You covered it all. He scores goals, he gets forward, he gets assists, and when Chelsea are playing well, he's going to get clean sheet points. So Alonso is just long-term one of the best defenders in terms of fantasy football.
Yeah, exactly. Midfielders. We've got a few here. I want to start with someone you said who I'll be honest, just completely went under my radar. I didn't have a clue who you were talking about. Diabate, the new Leicester signing. I mean, you've seen him play a little bit. What do you think?
Indeed, yeah, I watched him play against Peterborough the other day in the FA Cup, and although they're not the best, you know, that no disrespect, but they're not they're not a Premier League team. He looks very good in that match, and he scored twice, and maybe got a couple of assists as well. So. And he came off the bench against Everton the other day, so it looks as if Klopp-Well is going to start integrating him into the side more, certainly if we see Mahrez start to drop out because of the whole transfer shenanigans. So Diabate, it looks like a player who could score points, and he could be a very cheap option. Throw him in your team, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean... My one issue with that is it relies heavily on the fact that Mahrez is going to pull a Berahino and just not show up anymore and just throw a bit of a strop. I think, yeah, maybe. What do you reckon? Is there a benefit to having him over a proven player like Damari Gray?
Well, it's just whether you're willing to take the risk in terms of whether you go for Diabate or as you said, Damari Gray is a player who, even when Mahrez is playing, is still, you know, starting or coming off the bench most weeks. So I think should Mahrez start to drop out, I think it would be an ideal time for Damari Gray to step up and start scoring more goals. So he could be a good shout in terms of someone to put in your midfield.
Yeah, and then just, I think, one more to talk about. We touched on it earlier, but Theo Walcott has to be a player to look at. I mean, he's come really straight out the starting blocks with Cenk Tosun failing to have impressed for Big Sam, and he didn't even start against Leicester, and Walcott scored both goals. You've got to be looking at him thinking, yeah, he's a pretty dynamic player to have.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, whether you rate Theo Walcott or not, he's a goal-scoring midfielder, and that's what you want in fantasy football. So I think he's a logical choice, and he's not that expensive, as you say, so... Yeah, I'm certainly considering putting him in my team over the next couple of weeks, because I think Everton will pick up with him in the side.
Moving on to strikers, I think that there's one which immediately comes to mind for me, and I know you may not agree, Olivier Giroud. He's fairly cheap. I believe he's 8.2 million. So it's a good few million cheaper than Kane and Aguero. He might not start every game, but at the minute, when you've got Morata out injured, Willian injured, Pedro playing like he doesn't care, and Hazard getting constantly hacked down, he is the player we need, and he's going to score a lot of goals, I think.
I definitely agree with that. I think Giroud is a top-quality striker. You know, he starts for France, for goodness sake. Like, he's ahead of the likes of Lacazette in their opinion. So he's obviously a very good striker. He scored a lot of goals for Arsenal, whether that be from starting or coming off the bench. So at that price, I think you want him to be starting games, but I certainly think it won't take him long until he starts banging them in for Chelsea.
Yeah, I think that he's got a real point to prove as well. I think he is probably going to start against Watford. And if you don't feel like taking the risk and putting him in now, that's going to be the game to watch. I'm sure we will give you the summary when he scores his hat-trick in that game. And I can say, ha, I told you so.
That would be wishful thinking, perhaps, but...
I don't know. It's a 100% guarantee he's going to play well. Well, maybe 99%. Come on, I'm not a genius, but hey,
we're just experts at the
end of the day. We're only experts. We're not geniuses. Come on. The other player you were talking about was Sørloth.
Yes.
Yeah, the big Norwegian, is he? Danish?
I think he's Norwegian. Yes, he's just transferred to Crystal Palace from FC Midtjylland. That's probably a terrible pronunciation, but there you go. Obviously, it's going to go under the radar a lot for a lot of fantasy players, but he scored a lot of goals over in playing for Midtjylland. I don't know what country that is, I just realised. He scored a lot of goals there, and although the Premier League might be a step up for him...
I believe it's Norway.
Norway, yeah. That makes sense, because he is Norwegian. Yeah, you know, he's going to come over here, and he's 6'4" or 6'5". He's a big striker.
He's a
big unit. And with Palace steadily improving, and when you've got the likes of Townsend and Zaha on the wings whipping the balls in, then I certainly think he could be a good option in terms of someone who's going to be fairly cheap and might pick up the odd goal every now and then for Crystal Palace. So, yeah, Sørloth could be a man.
He's scored 15 goals and 9 assists in 26 games for Midtjylland this season. He's a player you can't really ignore. You just have to hope he's not going to be a sort of Cenk Tosun repeat, who I had quite high hopes for and just didn't really show.
I mean, Cenk Tosun's played, what, maybe 3 or 4 matches.
And
so
he's looked poor in each of them.
Yeah, you got to give him time, though. Yeah, give him time to settle. I'm sure Tosun and Sørloth will do well in the Premier League eventually. It might take him a while to get going, but I think Sørloth is the sort of man who, unlike Tosun, might make an immediate impact for Crystal Palace, and when they've got Newcastle coming up at the weekend at home, you'd got to hope that he will at least be on the bench there and will probably come on and perhaps grab a goal.
Yeah. And final thoughts, I think Callum Wilson. Callum Wilson, 3 goals in the last 4 games. He's looking hot. He's looking spicy. I'd have him in a curry, that sort of thing. He's looking good. He's looking good. And miraculously, still less than 7% of players have been picked. I don't know why. I think he's a really good shout. He's been doing really, really well. He's less than 6 million to get. He's I think right now the perfect cheap striker.
I have to agree. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I just transferred him earlier this morning. You know, he scored once and got an assist, I believe, at Chelsea. So he had a very good game there. He's quick. He can finish. He works perfectly in the Bournemouth setup and where they're set to counter teams and with them in good form, he's gonna score goals. And he, as you say, he's just a perfect budget striker to have for your team.
And now we're moving on to our final segment of the show. Jimmy, I know you're excited about this. What were they thinking? Where we pick out the sort of dopiest person we could find, like a funny news story of some kind related to fantasy football. And Jim, what have you found for us?
Oh, well, it was quite an amusing just pick this week in terms of what were they thinking. 13 unlucky, potentially crazy fantasy football.
I think that the government have dispatched people to have a check for
it. It wouldn't surprise me. 13 people managed to triple captain Phil Jones, and they could not have picked a worse week to do it. Manchester United going down 2-0 at Spurs with Phil Jones absolutely slamming an own goal into the top corner. It was a cracking finish. And obviously he got minus 2 points. So for those unlucky 13... minus 6 points on the board from him. Not the best pick.
I you know what? It's going to sound really bad, but what were they thinking? See, there are sometimes you see stories and it's a bit like, okay, this person's benched someone or they shouldn't have done or whatever. But they were playing Tottenham away.
I really
just don't understand it. Because these aren't inactive players who've just left him as their captain. They've gone out of their way to triple captain him.
I don't know.
I think these people, these are the sorts of people where really you wonder how they managed to just not forget how to breathe. It really is quite impressive.
They must be Manchester United fans or just Phil. Maybe it's the 13 people that are in the Phil Jones fan club.
Fairly safe to say that was quite an absurd decision indeed.
Certainly. I can't get my head around it. No, but, you know, no, what's really done
can't.
Is done.
I really can't.
They've just made a horrible, horrible mistake there.
But yeah, I think we've come to the end of our first ever podcast, Jim. How are you feeling about it?
Oh, it was great fun.
It was an emotional roller coaster.
It was, really. It was a good laugh. Hopefully, you've enjoyed our expert opinions, and you can give us a listen both this time and whenever the next podcast is out. I'm sure it won't be long.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be back to you very, very soon. But for now, I've been Alex Zonneveld. I've been joined by the marvellous James Morehouse. This has been Scouting for Goals, the best fantasy football podcast on URN. And we'll be back with you soon.